Well, how shall the young secure their heart? That song is not just for young people. It applies to all of us. Thy holy book shall guide our youth. Thy holy book shall guide our youth. I said this not long ago, young people. I'm going to say it in your hearing tonight. What I hold in my hand, this is not the Cedar Park Church Manual of Rules and Regulations. It's not the Church of Christ book. It's the Word of God. And since it comes from God, we know, number one, it's truth from beginning to end, because God is truth. You will not find anything in this book of God that is a lie. Number two, you know it's for our good, because it comes from God who is good. And it's the revelation of a God who loves you more than anyone else can love you, even your parents. I trust we're here tonight, all of us, to open our hearts and open the book of God to see what God has to say and how God wants to lead us and guide us to please Him in this life, so that when our life is over, we die or we meet the Lord in hope of going to heaven. Welcome to all who are here, especially those that are visitors with us again tonight. I say to our visitors, welcome. We say to all of those visiting, we're delighted to have you. We are glad that you are here. What you will see on the screen, you will also see on our website. And if you'll click this picture that you see on the screen, on our homepage on the website, it will take you nicely to a link. And how all that works, I have no idea, but it works. And it tells you the schedule of our youth weekend or our youth lectures, June 28, 29, and 30. Someone says, Paul, what are you doing in the beginning? Are you trying to plug the youth lectures? Well, absolutely. June 28, 29, and 30. Ryan is coming from Abilene. Good one. There's his last name. I struggle with people who come from Oregon, remembering who they are. Ryan Goodwin from Abilene. Met Ryan when I was in a meeting there. Ryan's coming preaching Friday night. Going to preach one session Saturday afternoon. Ricky Jenkins, Brother Jenkins, has been here before. Ricky's coming. He's going to speak to us on the second session Saturday and also speak on the Lord's Day Sunday morning. At 10:30, I said to Ricky, I had to have two guys this year. I wanted two guys, and I needed some old preacher, and so that's why Ricky's coming. I'm looking forward though to the weekend, but especially I asked Ricky. I said, Ricky, on Saturday afternoon, here's what I'm titling your first session when you speak: Answers, Advice, and Application. Now the whole weekend comes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I said, Ricky, what I want you to do is I want you to discuss teen challenges and parental concern. We're bringing parents in as well and grandparents in as well. If you go through Jesus' sermon in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7, Jesus said some very challenging things. But how do we make application? How would our Lord have us to make application to preteens and to teens? I mean, when Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, well, I think we understand something about the necessity and the importance of making peace with God and how such is possible. Maybe we'll talk some about that. But being a peacemaker, we need to be peaceable people. Our Lord is the Prince of Peace. He's concerned that as much as depends on us, we be at peace with all men. But there's sibling rivalry. You get brother and sister or multiple siblings in the same family. Sometimes it's a challenge for there to be peace in that home. Well, Jesus is talking to us about those sorts of things. But when Jesus would talk about taking your right eye, if it causes you to sin, and plucking it out, that's graphic language. And when Jesus would talk about a right hand, if it causes you to sin, cut it off. Well, He's not wanting us to mutilate our physical bodies. But Jesus would have us to understand that anything that Satan throws at us to cause us to live a life of impurity or a life that's out of balance or out of focus with things that are eternal and things that are spiritual that affect our eternal destiny, He would have us to understand that sometimes we are going to have to do what we never imagined we would have to do in this life to be ready for the life to come. We need to talk about some of that. Jesus would say things like, if one forces you to go a mile, you go with him 2 miles. You go the extra mile. And it seems to me that in that context, Jesus was trying to still press the point about being forgiving and compassionate people. And then he talks about loving your enemies. I tell you, the world in which we live doesn't care anything about going the extra mile with regards to compassion and forgiveness. We live in the world that says if someone hurts you, you hurt them back. Settle the score. Get even. Retaliation. They had it coming anyway. But that's not what our Lord taught. A lot of challenging things. And so I've asked Ricky to come and we're going to ask him questions. We're going to put him on the spot. As I said, the old preacher. Ricky's been husband and father, now grandfather, preacher, and elder. I'm looking forward to this weekend. I want to speak to young people tonight. So I beg your indulgence, those who were contemplating the continuation in our theme on Sunday nights of authority, and we're coming back to that. I want to speak to young people. I like what the Ecclesiastes writer, whoever he might have been, most likely Solomon. When Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9, rejoice in your youth. Then he says in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes in verse 1, remember God in your youth. I want to make 3 points, young people, that I believe will help you to find joy in your youth and especially keep you close to God. And have God in your daily remembrance as you live life at your age where you are under the sun. Point number one, very basic points. Don't be consumed with what is only temporary. Don't be preoccupied. Consumed is the right word here, with what really ultimately has no real value because it's not lasting value. You didn't come to hear from me, but you came to hear from Jesus. Jesus, in his sermon in Matthew 6, beginning in verse 19, said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroys and where thieves can break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust destroys, moths break in or consume, thieves do not steal. For where your treasure is, Jesus says, there your heart will be also. Jesus says your heart follows your treasure. Here's how I want to illustrate that point. Where your heart is, there will your treasure. Or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Life, young people, is what you are alive to. Life is what you are alive to. I mean, what do I have to say, or whose name might I mention, and it gets your attention? What would I have to say right now that would suddenly pique your interest? I know for some of you, and I don't want to look in the general direction and give it away, but some of you, if I were to say, time to eat, I got your attention, don't I? And if I were to say to some of you, not to give it away, would you like an iPhone 5? I've got your attention now. Life is what you are alive to. Whatever gets your attention gets you. Whose name do I have to mention? Oh, I'm not going there. But for some of you young ladies, I could mention a guy's name, a boy's name, and you're suddenly listening to me. And you guys, I can mention a young lady's name and you're suddenly listening to me. Life is what you are alive to. Who and whatever gets your attention gets you. Now, listen to the Apostle Paul. If you then have been risen with Christ, especially you young people who are in Christ, you're Christians, which what that says about you is you ought to be a Christ follower. You ought to be a disciple that's interested in learning more about Christ, listening to Christ, because you just want to follow Christ. So Paul says in Colossians 3 and verse 1, since you have been risen with Christ, seek those things that are above where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your mind or your affection on things above. For you are dead. And your life, he says, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. When Christ, who is our life. I'll tell you something about the Apostle Paul. Christ was his life. I know that was the case, not just from studying his life, but from hearing what he wrote, listening to what he said. I have been crucified with Christ, he said in Galatians 2 and verse 20. And so it's no longer I who lives, but who lives in me? Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul said, I'm alive to Christ because I have been compelled by how much Christ loved me. When I think about all that Christ has done for me to make my salvation possible, I'm alive to Christ. When you talk about Christ, and when you talk about the hope of heaven, and when you talk about glory, the Apostle Paul would say, you've got my attention. Is Christ really your life? Now, that doesn't mean you cannot be alive to temporary things to a degree and in its proper place and perspective. Music and sports and hobbies and other things. But what that is saying is, if that comes between you and Christ and service to Christ, then what that will do is push Christ out. And you will no longer be alive to Christ in His kingdom and things that really have lasting value. You will begin to find that you've been attracted to and you're concentrating on and now consumed by what is only temporary. Young people, do not be consumed by what is only temporary. You've heard this second point before. Young people, do not ever settle. Do not settle for what is average or below your best. In the language of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 58, it's always be overflowing in the work of the Lord. But you see, most people that you go to school with, most of you now that an age where you can get a summer job and hold a summer job, most of the people you're going to work beside, they don't live by that philosophy. They're looking at ways to cut the corner. They're looking for ways to settle for doing less than their best. I won't tell you where it was that my dad told me not long ago he had gone during the middle of the week. And he said he was waiting in line and things were very slow, and somebody turned behind the counter and hollered to somebody in the back, "Hey, can you come up front and help us?" And he said he heard a voice from a worker in the back say, "They don't pay me extra to work harder." That's the world we live in. We're consumed by a world that thinks in minimums. The least that I can do and get the paycheck or get by or keep somebody off my back. Bare minimum so that mom and dad don't get upset with me. Bare minimum so someone doesn't get frustrated with me. Bare minimum, and we could fill in the blank. But we all know that's settling. That's not how Jesus lived. That's not what He modeled. Real discipleship means you must have real aims, ambitions, dreams, and goals that are approved by God and within your grasp that cause you to stretch yourself. Don't settle academically. Don't settle with relationships. Someone that you know will not treat you well. Someone that you know will not speak to you like you deserve. Someone that won't motivate you and help to stretch you and to encourage you. Don't settle. And don't settle spiritually. Because a half-hearted commitment doesn't challenge or motivate anyone. We're graduating among our high school students quite a number. They're moving on with life in a good direction, a positive direction. And that's an exciting time. Oh, there are challenges. But that's exciting. But when 6 or 7 plus graduate, most leaving, no longer in the group, who's the next leader to arise among our high school students? I don't know. I have some ideas, but I sure pray about that. Middle school, graduating, if you will, moving up to the high school, changing groups, not changing churches. Who's the next middle school leader? Who's the next young lady or young man that will rise up and be willing to stretch themselves because they know what's best for them? And that's surely a good way to motivate others to be and do a little more. I don't know who that will be. I've got some ideas about that. But I sure pray about it. I was given this poem some years ago. I want to share it with you tonight. If you think you are beaten, if you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you'd like to win, but you think you can't, it's almost a cinch you won't. If you think you're outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself. I added, sure of God. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win a prize. Life's battle doesn't always go to the swifter or faster man. But sooner or later, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. Now listen to me. In a lot of ways, I like that poem. But please hear me. I'm not here to promote humanism. I'm not here to tell you just trust in yourself. Believe in yourself. Put confidence in yourself. And that's enough. That's the formula for failure. I've tried it. It doesn't work. And so I tell you without any shame, put your confidence and trust in God. But you do need to push yourself. You do need to control and make some changes perhaps in your attitude and in your outlook so that that shapes your confidence and your belief in what ultimately really matters. And so I'm saying, young people, I'm challenging you with this point. Be a trier, not a quitter. Be a finisher, not just a starter. And be a person with a positive attitude and a passionate drive to succeed in all he or she does to the glory of Christ. Number two, don't settle. And number three, don't sell yourself short. See the value in your soul. That's your greatest possession. That's where you need to place your premium value. And so Jesus said, if anyone really wants to come after me, if anyone really wants to be my disciple, Jesus said, he has to deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Discipline, self-control. But Jesus continues. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now you remember this verse. It's in that context that Jesus says, for what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Have you sold yourself short? Have you bargained, if you will, with the devil? Have you looked at life and decided this has a little bit more or this has a lot more value than my soul or where I will spend eternity? Whatever is pulling at your affection, whatever Satan is throwing at you that promises temporary pleasure, and perhaps it will provide pleasure, but it's only temporary. But whatever Satan is throwing at you for temporary pleasure, Jesus says, if you accept it, if you take the bait, if you buy into his lie, you sell yourself short. Because nothing that this life has to offer and nothing that Satan puts before you to pull you away from God and to cause you to stop listening to what God says is worth it. December the 31st, last day of the year of 1999, Time magazine announced its person of the century was the great German physicist Albert Einstein. Person of the century, Time magazine said, was Albert Einstein. He was described as the embodiment of pure intellect. Ooh. That's how many in the world saw him. Dr. Einstein boarded a train that was traveling from Princeton University. And as he got on the train, the conductor was going down the aisles punching tickets. He got to where Albert Einstein was sitting down, and as he got closer and closer, he noticed Dr. Einstein was reaching in his vest and in his pocket, was going back here in the back pocket, was reaching down for the briefcase and looking at the seat next to him, going through papers. And the conductor came to punch his ticket and could see what the trouble was. And he said, "Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. Everybody on this train knows who you are. I trust you. I know you bought a ticket. It's okay." And Dr. Einstein nodded graciously. And the conductor went on, punching tickets. And as he was about to go to the next car, he turned around and he noticed Dr. Einstein was on his hands and knees, still searching. And so he walked back. He said, Dr. Einstein, he said, "Listen, I know who you are. Everybody knows who you are. I believe you that you bought a ticket. It's okay. You don't need to look any longer." And Albert Einstein looked up at the conductor and he said, "Young man, I too know who I am. I just have no idea where I'm headed." Senior moment, or a man who was very, very busy. Do you know where you're headed? Sure you do. Sure you do. If you're here tonight and you're not headed for heaven, God's appeal to you is you can. You can turn your life around. This is doable. This is fixable. But you have to stop trusting self. You have to stop listening to the devil who lies. And you have to start listening to God and trusting Him. And when God says, "I'll forgive you, no matter what it is or what you've done, if you'll just humble yourself and fall before me in true repentance and remorse, I'll forgive you." Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't taken that initial step of obedience that is a step of trust. Without faith, you can't please God. You're here tonight and you believe that Jesus was who He said He was, the Christ of God. You understand you can't save yourself. There's only one way to salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to have your sins forgiven and erased and pardoned, and that's through His blood. But you haven't taken that step tonight in faith that says, "I repent of my sins. I confess my faith in Christ. And from a clean conscience, I appeal to Him for forgiveness and favor through the waters of baptism to have my sins washed away, to leave today a child of the King by the grace of God headed for heaven." appeal of the gospel and the word of God's grace tonight for all of us is if we're not ready, tonight's the night to get ready. If we can help you, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?